What shall we say then? If Christ is for us, who can be against us? I just have such a stirring in my heart since last week. Can you guys just hand that out, please? Around communion, one of the big things that often people don't talk about with communion is the identity that we have in communion. And I can tell you that throughout the ages, if you look in the Bible and you look at history, how things have happened, how Satan, who is the enemy of our souls, the accuser of the brethren, he's always tried to stop the will of God from coming to being. First, in the Old Testament, he's tried to, he's basically tried to pollute the whole generation so that Jesus would never come. He failed. Jesus came. He lived. He died. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But since then, even John said, we're in the last days. If we were in the last days back then, we're in the last of last days now. And I can tell you that his tactics are getting more fierce. His attacks are getting heavier. And he's attacking the last generation. And the one thing he's trying to strip away from everybody is identity. Look what's going on in the world. This is not a physical thing we're looking at. That's a spiritual thing. It happens in the spirit first, where he's trying to attack the church and strip the church from its identity. Throughout the last few decades, we've seen the church go from a church that identified with believers as being bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, unashamed to speak in tongues, unashamed to lay hands on the sick, unashamed to go out in the streets and preach the gospel. But we've seen the devil at work trying to strip that identity away from the church by mixing in the world in the church. We were reading actually last Sunday, it's just funny, we were reading devotions in the morning, and it was about a little girl that had an assignment for school, and she had to do something with orange seeds, grow an orange tree. And her mum said, okay, we'll go to the shop and we'll get some oranges. And as they get to the shop, the girl picked up some oranges. And the mother said, no, put those back. She said, but I like these oranges. She said, yes, but they're seedless oranges. And I can tell you what, the devil have been very good at producing seedless Christians. Without seed, you can't produce. The genetic modification that has been happening. We look good. We've got the brightest lights, the loudest music, the fanciest clothes. We've got buildings that are just fantastic. They've been genetically engineered to be attractive and to look like it's withstanding the harshness of time. But inside, there's no seed. And that's sad. Then we wonder why churches are filled Sundays after Sundays, and they produce nothing. The Bible calls it cloud without rain. That's what it talks about in Ecclesiastes. And right now, that attack is coming in the world by taking away identity. In everything, whether it be your sexual identity, whether it be your identity at work, identity in church, how you relate to each other, because the devil knows that the Word of God is always true. And the Word of God says, if you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God also said that God has blessed the soil. If you plant in the soil, it will yield a crop. That's what the Word says. So, you and I, people have been made from the dust of the earth. We are earth. What the devil is trying to prevent is seed from being sown into the earth to produce more. So he's stripping away identity. He's bringing double-mindedness in the church. But I'm here to tell you today that we have an identity in Christ Jesus. We have an identity in Christ Jesus. Each one of us have an identity in Christ Jesus. And I can go through so many scriptures, but I'll just read a few. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God. When the enemy comes at you and he says, who are you? You can say, I'm a child of God. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. What an identity we have in God. And this one I love. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's our identity. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. We have power. If Christ is for us, who can be against us? I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible, a few verses in Romans chapter 6, which talks a lot about our identity. Go and read Romans 6. Go and read it. Read it in different translations. It says, for if we have become one with him, permanently united in likeness of his death, we will also certainly be one with him and share fully in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self, our old human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. Verse 11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, and your relationship to it be broken, but alive with God in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. If the cross has been removed in your relationship with God, I implore you today, go back on your knees and put the cross where it belongs, because that's where salvation was purchased for us. In the soil of Calvary, his blood dripped for us. We've been made righteous. In James chapter 5, the Holy Spirit's just saying this to me now. James chapter 5, he says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. In another translation, it says, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Who is the righteous? It's us. When are we made righteous? When we ask forgiveness of our sins, his blood comes. Please stand with me. His blood that you hold in your hand comes, and it washes away our sins, and we're made righteous with God. Therefore, you know that when you pray, after you've repented from your sins, your prayers are powerful and they are effective. God hears you because you've been made righteous, not because you are good, not because you've done anything special, but simply because you have put your faith and your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, and you have repented of your sins, and you've broken that relationship with sin, and you are now in an unbroken relationship with God. Therefore, God hears you because he loves you. There's nothing you could have done, nothing you and I could have done for that. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he handed it out to everyone there, to his disciples, which is what you hold in your hand now. And he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. In Isaiah 53, we read that the broken body of Jesus, it brings healing. By his stripes we are healed, and by he was bruised for our iniquities. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin that it's like you think about this, that thought that the enemy plant in you. You begin to think negative. You haven't acted it out yet, but you have that iniquity in your mind. It talks about iniquity in the mind. Like you think anger thoughts, hateful thoughts, all those ugly thoughts. Somebody's just offended you. But you don't act it out to them, but in your mind, you've transgressed. Bruised for our iniquities, please eat with me. And the blood. His blood cleanses us. It washes us. It purifies us. It says in Revelation, they overcame him by the word of their mouth and the blood of the Lamb. God, we thank you today that we can partake and be part of the covenant that you have made with us, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord, but yet you've made it with us. And God, we are so thankful. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Please take and drink.
This point. There's a dynamic in what Ray just shared, and especially with the reality of what that broken body and shed blood has provided for us. And I don't know whether it's physical or whatever it is, but do you need healing today? Is anyone here looking to God for total healing in their life, in their body? Just raise your hand now. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Those needing healing. We're going to take authority over every sickness. In the name of Jesus. Now those of you that are full of faith, standing near anyone with their hands raised, keep your hands raised, those that need healing. Those next to them, behind them. Just reach toward them. Just reach toward them. Just believe for God to use you as a channel of wholeness to be imparted into the other person. That's part of our calling. If you've been made conformable or in the likeness of his death, you will be in the likeness of his resurrection. Man, I'm telling you, there's no sickness in heaven. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, as every hand is raised in faith, for healing, whatever that situation is, Lord God, physically or spiritually or whatever it might be, but especially those of a physical nature now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every infliction, every sickness, every disease, every disorder, every infirmity, every weakness, and whatever it may be in every body, with a hand raised right now, receiving in faith in the name of Jesus. We impart your life into that situation right now, Lord God. We release them from every sickness. We curse everything that is not of you in this situation, Lord God. We command every sickness to wither and die. We command every disorder to come to be reordered. We command everything out of place to come back into place, for every dead cell to become living cells, that in the name of Jesus, the life of your spirit would fill every person right now. And Father, I thank you for the results in that healing. I thank you, Lord God, for your life poured out. I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. Not going to be, we are. We were at Calvary. And thank you, Lord God, for the reality and the manifestation of that now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now those of you that perhaps have got a physical condition that you was restrained in any way, do something that you couldn't do. Check it out. Check it out. I'm passionate about this. Last night, guy up the front said those did the same thing. I'm not copying him. I just felt so empowered by God to do this now. But I'll give you a quick testimony. A couple of years ago, I caught this hand in a machine at work, and it had been very difficult. I could not make a fist any better than that. I could get my hand almost shut. And last night, God just said, if you need healing of any form of like arthritic condition or an inflammatory condition or difficulty in your body, you stand and receive now. And then he prayed. I could not close my fist for nearly 2 years. My handshake had even gotten weaker because I had no strength in my hand. And I said to the guy afterwards, praise God. And he said, I don't know why I gripped his hand. I nearly broke his hand. But there is God's restoration power at work. And all I did was stand in faith when the call came. Come on. Come on. We've got to step out in faith because that's what God did. There were conditions that were healed that I was blown away with last night. And we need to recognize that that is available to us. I believe when Rake spoke those words, they were words of life. There's a seed given. If you take communion, you're taking a seed of life. Every time you take communion, there's a seed of life in that bread and in that cup for you to receive everything that God has made available. There's no sterility in God. There's no genetic modification in God. There's no seedless life in God. Amen? Regardless of what man's doing on this planet, God is not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe for that in the name of Jesus. Now, if you haven't had a manifestation now, don't be discouraged. You can leave this place and you can just say, thank you, Lord, for your healing in my body. I've received it in the name of Jesus. And I know it's coming and I know it's mine. I know it belongs to me. And I know of a surety that it will fully manifest in the name of Jesus. And even beyond that, I heard another testimony this week, where a guy went to a house in Mexico. This guy's a missionary in Mexico. And he went into this house, he heard this guy was there, crippled with arthritis, and I mean crippled, and had tuberculosis. He went into this guy and he said, I've come here because God has sent me and he's shown me a picture of you working with me in the kingdom of God for the ministry of the kingdom. The guy says, go away, nothing to do with you, get out, go. He was very non-receptive. He says, I don't believe that. He said, I don't care what you believe, the power of God in me is greater than what you believe. And this is what God showed me, and this, you've got no say in it. Just, you may as well change. And the guy was totally, no, go away, don't touch me. He said, well, I'm leaving now, but before I go, I am going to pray for you. And he said, I knelt by his bed, laid hands on him and prayed for him. There was nothing. The guy was saying, yeah, get out, go, go away. 2 days later, no, sorry, 2 months later, he got to go back to that house and they wouldn't let him in. And he sat out the front for over 4 hours waiting. Then a guy came out of the house and said, we know who you are and what you want, but you can come in now. So he went in and they had a banquet prepared. A poor, poor, poor family had gone out, killed their chickens, killed their pig, cooked it up, and then let this guy come in and said, you're welcome, come and eat. And he sat down and he thought, wow, what's this food for? What are you doing? You're having a party here? Just eat. And he said, when Mexicans cook food, they cook food. It was hot, you know. He said, no sinus problems in this body, you know. And he had the food and he said that at the end of finished eating, the guy walked out of the other room totally healed, whole and well. And he put two and two together because he said in that region of Mexico, the witch doctors and even the preachers and ministers are charging for healings. You got a headache, it's 50 pesos. You got a backache, it's 150 pesos. You've got something more serious. The price goes up, the more serious the condition. And he said, is this what this feast is all about? You think you've got to pay me? And sheepishly they said, yes, but we're very poor. We have no money. He said, the kingdom of God is free. He said, there's no charge for this gospel. There is no charge. It's all paid for. It's a gift of God. It's free. And we don't receive it. How can we not receive what God's given us? And he turned his head to this guy. It's absolutely a gift of God. And it led that guy and his whole family to Jesus at that point. Now this was, he said, now tell me the story. He said, well, for 2 days I laid in bed angry at you. I was mad at you. He said, I didn't want you to come in here. I knew what you were after. You just wanted to be paid, was my thought. He said, I laid back in agony one day, and he said, I felt, the second day, he said, I felt this heat in my head. He said, and the heat went through my body, and the heat came right down and out of my toes. And as it left my toes and my feet, he said, I laid straight in bed, and I felt, I jumped out of bed, and I had no pain. I had no arthritis. I had no tuberculosis. I could walk. I could function. I could do everything that I couldn't do in that bed. I was totally healed. And the 2 days after you were here, he said, I've never had a pain since, whole and completely healed. He said, that's my story. And he said, I told you then you were going to be an ambassador and work with me in the kingdom. Let's go out and pray for some people in the streets. And he went out, and the first thing they came across was a person that just died in a house down the road. And this Christian, of only a matter of hours or less, raised that guy from the dead. They were preparing him for burial. And his first miracle in his life was a death life experience. Can you believe that? That is what God is doing. That's the God we serve. That's happening in this day and age where people are receptive to the kingdom of God. We can't afford to be seedless Christians. We can't afford to be people with no life that is imparted to others. And I'm telling you, this is where God's taking his church today, to be people that know if you have been made conformable to his death, if you will be made in the likeness of his resurrection, and he is whole, complete, healed, there's no sickness in him, and we need to take that and impart that to others. Not, Lord, come and heal so and so. That's an old religious form. In the name of Jesus, I release the life of Christ into you. The power of God that's in me, I impart to you now for your healing. Receive it in the name of Jesus. It's a command. He said, speak to the mountain. That's the only time he taught them to pray outside of the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that? And the only failure in healing in the Bible was when the disciples tried to pray for that son of a man who came and said, my son is tormented. He was epileptic or whatever it might have, threw himself in the fire. And your disciples could not. And Jesus healed the young boy. The disciples came and said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, because of your unbelief, your seedlessness. Your seedlessness. I don't know why I'm saying this today. I've got no idea why I'm coming up with this. But I know that inspiration from that communion message was, we have to be seed-filled people of God, imparting, sowing, releasing, and letting the life of God go into every aspect of people's lives that we come in contact with. Amen. Get the seeds happening in Jesus' name.
Yeah. searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say.
Call me deeper still as you call.